The $600 a week federal jobless benefit has now expired, and it's expected that there will be an increased need for SNAP benefits, previously called food stamps, to make ends meet. In Mississippi, one of the nation's poorest states, 15% of the population already relied on these benefits before the pandemic, and now the state is bracing for a surge in new applications. Bob Anderson is the executive director of the Mississippi Department of Human Services, and he joins us now to talk about the challenges states like his are now facing. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
So, Bob, you were sworn into this position in March, and man, this was just a week before many of the country shut down because of the pandemic. Given this, what are some of the immediate changes you had to take on to make sure families and low-income people were prepared? Human services is a huge economic driver in the state. How is the department reshifting to address the new needs during this pandemic?
Well, one of the things we had to immediately address was how to handle just the extraordinary volume, increase in volume of applications, particularly for SNAP. In about a 2.5 week period between March 16th and April 7th, we saw 68,500 new applications. And we had to shift our employees' work schedules to put them on 12-hour days and six-day weeks in order to just handle that volume, because we have to register applications, then we have to make the eligibility determination, and that's a continuous process that is required before we can begin to push SNAP benefits out to new recipients.
You mentioned the sheer number of applicants for benefits soon after our country was hit with this pandemic. What have you been hearing from families directly? What's the greatest struggles many of them are facing right now?
Oh, gosh, I think probably the one that that keeps me awake at night the most and one that we hear the most about is what's going to happen? What do families do once those unemployment benefits end? And those have come to an end, and we don't know what, you know, what's in store. What's the next step? What's the next stimulus package coming from Capitol Hill, and how much longer? We just got approval to continue doing supplemental SNAP benefits through August, and that's going to help, but we don't know what comes after August. And I think the uncertainty is the thing that we're hearing the most about, and I certainly understand that.
I know that many states are dealing with this same problem, just the overload of need and also the processes in place to be able to meet those needs. Your team recently offered SNAP households a supplement for the month of August, but your department has been criticized by some advocates for focusing a lot on self-sufficiency programs. What is your response to this? Do you think states should continue to focus on these kinds of programs or move towards more direct funding?
Well, that's a dialogue that we have begun since I got here. We've not revisited our direct assistance, particularly for temporary assistance to needy families, in quite a while, and we're probably at the near the bottom in terms of the amount that we support families. And that's a dialogue we are beginning to have internally. We'll also be having it with the governor's staff to look at whether Mississippi needs to, you know, consider shifting from supportive services to more direct assistance. That's certainly something I'm open to considering as executive director.
I understand that you're open to dialogue, but what do you see as the benefits of direct assistance over supportive programs or really vice versa?
Well, I think there's a real place for the workforce development work that we do in preparing people for the workplace. But I think we also have to step back and think about what do we do to prepare people to even be prepared to start getting into the workforce? Because just saying you need to be in workforce development or work training without preparing them with some of these, some of these training programs to teach people how to be prepared to go for an interview, for example, and knowing how to how to comport themselves in an interview, and all of those related issues are a significant benefit of the supportive services, but I think I've been saying around here that I think if we could provide sort of a head start to folks in the sense of paying a little bit more in terms of direct assistance at the beginning of their crisis period, that, and helping them then to get ready to look at entering the workforce, then we may not have the experience of having them stay on the assistance as long as some are forced to do right now. But that's just a different way of thinking, and I'm hoping I can, you know, get some traction with that idea.
Yeah. My understanding also is that for many of these programs, especially SNAP, the federal supplementary benefit made it so that people no longer qualified for the state-administered benefits. As those federal benefits now come to an end, how are you preparing for a renewed surge in applicants? Do you have enough funds and the systems in place to actually meet those new demands?
I think we're good with funds. We haven't had an issue with shortage of funds, but we're going to have to look at our workload again. One of the other things we had to do is we normally work these applications county by county, and some counties were just absolute hotspots in terms of large volume of applications. And so we went to a combined workload where, you know, a smaller adjacent county that didn't have as much pressure on them to take more applications, we would assign cases to that county to work a common workload. And we're going to have to go back to that for sure. The other problem we ran into with the unemployment that was really frustrating is that a lot of our folks who were getting the pandemic unemployment assistance at $600 a week, that automatically disqualified them for SNAP.
Right.
We asked the Food and Nutrition Service to give us a waiver at least for the first month so we could let people know that if you're accepting the unemployment benefits, it's probably going to disqualify you for SNAP assistance. And we just we hit a brick wall with FNS and just couldn't, the Food and Nutrition Service. And now we're having to work disqualifications. And in the middle of the pandemic, which continues, as executive director, that's been one of my greatest frustrations.
What do you need? What are you asking for? What would you like for? Is it the federal government or other entities to help and assist in this growing problem in the state of Mississippi?
Well, I think, you know, there's always this problem of unintended consequences. And I certainly understand the decision to put supplemental unemployment assistance at $600 a week, because that has helped families all over the nation. And I am fully supportive of that. But I think we need to think more strategically in terms of how does that impact our other benefit services, because what happens is, what's going to happen for these folks, they're going to fall off what we call around here a benefit cliff. You know, they're going to be back applying for SNAP benefits and trying to qualify for TANF benefits, and they may well be still in one of those disqualification periods. And so we need all of the federal partners we deal with to have some interactive discussions about the consequences of the choices they're making. And I just haven't seen a lot of that interactive dialogue among our federal partners.
You entered this position knowing that you would have to win back the trust of the people you serve. Your predecessor is accused of embezzling millions of dollars away from needy families to fund personal ventures. There was a story about a luxury rehab stay in California. What measures have you put in place to, one, gain back public trust, and then, two, increase transparency on how funds are allocated?
I've started what I've called around here Operation Restore Trust, because I just think that's where we are. And we have to restore public trust and confidence in this agency. We have to be moving toward excellence. If we're going to regain public confidence, we have to live out integrity, we have to practice compliance, and we have to move toward excellence. And those are the three core values that I have been preaching, so to speak, since I got here.
That's Bob Anderson, Executive Director of Mississippi's Department of Human Services. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.